Arm's Length Reporting, for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. Time for the KE Report. I'm going to start out with something today in the first half of the report. I'm going to give you some segments from my friend Dr. Chuck, and what we're going to talk about is a program that he has entitled Surviving Sickness and Suffering. I use this program. It takes about 15 days to get through it, and I have to tell you, in today's society, everybody should pick up a copy of this particular program because it, W-O-R-K-S, works. Let's get into it. Charles, what do you want to talk about?
Well, thanks. I thought I'd start out with a story. So have you ever been to Paris, Al?
Yes, I have.
You have? Well, so I knew a guy from Paris once. He lived in a little chateau on the outskirts of Paris.
Right.
Paris, Texas, not Paris. So anyway, his name was Horace, and Horace was quite a character. I had worked on Horace several times, and, you know, I kind of always kind of squinged when I saw him walk through the lobby because he was an old cowboy, and he'd leave manure. He had manure on his boots and mud on his boots, and he'd just leave a trail of manure and mud in the lobby for us to clean up. And so, but anyway, Horace was a real good guy. He was the real deal. You know, in Texas, we say, we describe pretenders, and we say that they're all hat and no cattle. Well,
right.
Horace was just the reverse. He was the real deal. He was an old cowboy, and so I'd passed him up several times. And he came back after surgery, and he was dressed to the hilt. I was kind of surprised. I really didn't recognize him because he was dressed in a big old, you know, silver belt buckle and a, you know, one of those button-down, you know, snap button shirts, and he
right.
looked really snazzy. And I said, "Well, Horace, what happened today? You usually come in an old dirty pair of overalls." He says, "Well, Doc, I just wanted to dress up for you." And the one thing that Horace was carrying that was really interesting is he had this hat on top of his head, and it was a Stetson, but it was one of those old, worn-out Stetsons. You know, it wasn't what we call a town hat. You know, I mean, it's one of those hats that had been, it was classy, but it had been weathered. He had taken a belt and put it around it, and it really was kind of an expression of who he was. So I asked him, I said, "Horace, where'd you get that hat?" And he says, "Well, this old hat, I won this hat in a rodeo up in Decatur. It was my aider from Decatur. I got this belt buckle and this hat." And he said, "You know, everybody asked me about this hat. I had a guy today at Walmart that offered me $100 for this thing." And I said, "Well, that's great." You know, and Horace took the hat off his head, and he kind of held it in his hands for a second and looked out the window. I could tell that he was, you know, kind of considering something. And he said, "You want to try it on?" I said, "Well, sure, Horace." So I took his hat and put it on my head. It fit perfectly. You know, and Horace kind of looked at me, and a kind of a tear filled his eye, and he said, you know, Doc, I'm going to give you that hat." And I kind of stopped and paused and realized what Horace was doing. You know, Horace gave me the hat on the top of his head, as we say in Texas, you know, and man, it was just quite a gift. And I'll tell you, that's a treasured gift that I, I cherish more than any award or accomplishment or anything I've ever had is that hat that Horace gave me. You know, but what I kind of realized is I kept the hat in the office, and as people came in, I'd let them wear the hat, and everybody just got a kick out of it, you know. These little old 80-year-old ladies with, you know, with purple hair would wear the hat, and, you know, little kids and stuff, and, you know, people who were discouraged and stuff, and I gave them that hat on and let them wear it, you know. And the more I began to think about that, and the more I thought about how Horace was just passing it on. Horace gave because Horace loved. And
right.
It was an expression of who he was, Al. And I think so often in our lives, when we give of expressions of who we are to other people, we receive so much more. And I just want to encourage, you know, our listeners that there's so much that we can give of ourselves. It may not be a hat. It may be a life experience, or just a word of encouragement, or maybe just, you know, laughing with somebody, or crying with somebody, or just a little act of kindness. There's always something, you know. And I think in a sense, Al, that's God's kind of way of, you know, it says that, you know, John 3:16, that God gave because God loved, you know, and so in a sense, that's expressing God's love to other people, maybe in a small way, doesn't have to be necessarily, you know, sharing something spiritually with them, but maybe just in a small way expressing, you know, God's love to us. And that's what Horace did to me that day, and I kind of realized that, you know, when I returned the favor and I passed it on, I felt a lot better.
Yep.
So I just want to encourage folks to think about that. You know, there's a statement by John Wesley. He said, do all the good you can by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, to all the people you can, as long as you can. And I think that's a great thing to think about, especially right now. You know, we've got so many crazy things going on, and I'll tell you, Al, people are just discouraged.
Yep. Boy, I can relate to that, Chuck. You know, I can really relate to that. A person who means an awful lot to me is very angry at me right now, and very angry at me because I supported Trump. I mean, I think that's kind of silly, but I mean, it's just, you know, you have to support all people, even if you disagree with them. And I'm certainly not supporting this guy at all by just getting angry and getting defensive, for lack of better terms. It sounds to me like I should take a lesson from Horace.
Well, I think we all can, Al.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
None of us get it right.
I
know, right.
You know, I'll tell you, I have messed up so many times in my life. I heard someone say, you know, people don't really care what you know. They care about how you make them feel, you know. And so, sometimes we think about the big things, and so often it's the small things that make a difference, the small expressions that we give to folks. And, you know, I've got those relational tensions with my family right now. I've got a son who we're going through some differences of opinion about, you know, where to go. How do you tell a 20-year-old kid what to do?
You don't. Let me tell you, you do not.
Baby, you can help me with that one, Al.
You don't do it, man. I went through that. I went through that with four daughters. You cannot do it.
Right. I mean, the best you can do is make them think it's their idea. So, but I'm learning to pick my battles, and I'm learning, you know, to love. And, you know, sometimes it's just in the small things. And so that's what I want to encourage people, because, you know, we do. We have family members who may have a different worldview than we do, different beliefs than we do. But we can always go back to the point, you know, God gave because God loved.
Right.
And, you know, and when we love people, just like, you know, for us, I mean, you know, for those of us who, you know, are Christians, or, you know, God gave to us and demonstrated his love to us even when we were, you know, we didn't care, you know. And so we have to have that kind of mindset that we're going to love people unconditionally. It's hard. I don't get it right. But it is possible.
It is possible. What I want to chat about, we got about a minute left here, at the very most, actually much less than that, maybe about 40 seconds. I want to talk in the second segment about your program entitled Surviving Sickness and Suffering, How to Survive and Thrive in Your Health Challenges. You know, Chuck, health challenges can be not only physical, but some of the toughest health challenges are mental. Chuck, we got to take a real quick commercial break here. Hang on, my friend. Going to be right back. And hang on, my friends out there. Right back after the commercial break.